Welcome to worship. It's wonderful to be with you in person or with you online. However you're joining us this morning, we are glad you are here. Want to just make a mention, we had quite the welcoming committee that we arranged all the fire trucks to welcome you in this morning. Those were not here. They were next door. It was an electrical concern. So please know they've got that taken care of. But just know we welcome you. Whether we have flashing lights to show you that or not, we are certainly glad you're here. At Anderson First United Methodist Church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. I am Reverend Corrine Borif, and joining me in leading worship today is Allie Hall, Nancy Upchurch, Sarah Later, and the music by our talented sanctuary choir. We will gather solemnly together on Monday morning, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. for the funeral of Louise Melander here in the sanctuary. The family invites each of you to join them in celebrating her life. Our 2024 leaders are listed in our leadership directory, and I just want to say thank you to those leaders of the church. There are many of you serving in leadership capacities and even in ways that are not listed in our directory, but you may help yourself to a directory. If we run out, I will print more. Those are available at the Welcome Center, and you're welcome to see those and continue to use it as a way to pray for those groups that work in the life of this church. Your giving statements are available. If you have not picked those up yet, there's a table next to the Welcome Center. You're welcome to pick up your envelope. This is for the 2023 giving, and we want to make sure you have that statement. There are many ministries and opportunities coming up or in process right now. They are all listed, or many of them, most of them, are listed at our Welcome Center. So please take a moment to check out all the different opportunities that we have. If you are not interested in a particular ministry, you may know someone who is. So share that information with a friend. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. With the music from Michelle Murray. us stand and join together in our call to worship and our opening hymn. Here we are, Lord. You have seen us and known us from before the beginning. Here we are, Lord. Jesus, you have called us to this place. Here we are, Lord. Gracious Holy Spirit, inspire our hearts with courage and joy. Amen.
To invite all the children down for our children's moment. So we've been talking all about community this month. And we've been talking about community we have here, community we have at home, community we have at church or at work with our friends. We've got a lot of communities that we're talking about. And Jack, why don't you do me a favor and open up that bag and see what's in there. What's in that? Legos. Who loves Legos? I love Legos. Legos are so much fun. You really have a tiny little block, and you have endless possibilities, right? Now, there's big blocks, and there's little blocks, and there's round blocks, and there's square blocks, and they all serve a different purpose, and they're all made to work together. And that's what community is, right? It doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, we all are made to work together. Where are some places that we can find community?
At churches.
Yeah.
Schools.
Mm-hmm. Where else? Yeah, that's okay.
In our homes.
Your homes, absolutely. Your family's your favorite community. Any other places you can think of?
Pools and water parks.
Excellent choice. That's kind of along the lines of what I was thinking too, right? Because you could just go to a park and make friends there. Some people can, right? Some people can make friends really easily. And it's really great to find community. And it's been wonderful to talk about that with you guys this week. And so we're going to go downstairs and learn about being something called the hands and the feet of Jesus. Sounds a little weird, doesn't it? But we're going to talk about it and what that might mean in the sense of a community, to be hands and feet of Jesus. All right, you guys ready to head downstairs?
About the library, but we have a special group of people who use the library on a regular basis, and I call them the library elves. They keep the shelves neat, and so the library always looks nice. These were the elves. They just left. Well, in the fall of 1971, a committee of 10 people was formed to revitalize a small church library. And out of those 10 people, I think Donna Pettigrew may be the only one still living. The library was funded by a $5,000 bequest from the estate of Wilma Booth. Therefore, the library was called the Wilma Booth Memorial Library. Books were purchased by the congregation and the weekday nursery school. The library was opened in 1973. Margaret Ann Hudson was the first librarian, and she passed away in 2004. So the library was renamed the Margaret Ann Hudson Memorial Library. It has grown from 250 books to over 5,000 books. We try to keep books of current interest on the shelves. Our new books for adults and young adults are in the shelves in the front of the library as you go in. The older ones are scattered around in the other shelves. Religious books are on the east side of the fireplace, and books of general interest are on the west side of the fireplace. We have a book club that meets in the library on the first Tuesday of the month from 9:30 to 10:30. Everyone is welcome to join. At one time, we met at Davis Park and had an evening book club, and there was a man from Middletown that came. So, you know, anybody can come to this. I think that's, unless you have some questions about the library, that was all. But I wanted to recognize the elves, because they're a big help.
I know thou art mine.
Gracious God, we are the receivers. Receivers of love, receivers of grace, receivers of Jesus. We also are the givers. Following your call, Lord, we give these offerings for the work of your kingdom with humble thanks for blessings received. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we know that you have created us with a purpose and plan. We know it is your desire that we also have a life filled with joy, purpose, and victory. Please help us today realize what you have planned for each one of our lives. We understand that in order to do this, we must choose a life of obedience to your word and a life of balance with our priorities in the proper place and our hearts focused on you. Help us, God, to attain that balance in all areas of our lives. Examine our hearts and show us those places where we may be out of balance. Help us to focus on the things that are most important and keep us from being distracted by the things that would steal our time and attention. Protect us from those things that try to keep us from reaching our goals and achieving the dreams that you have put in our hearts. And most of all, dear God, remind us daily that you have called us to be fruitful, not just busy. Give us the wisdom and strength to produce what is most important and constructive for our lives and the lives of those around us.
Thank you for your constant presence and for helping us to grow and increase in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand as you are able for our Bible readings. The gospel lesson is from Luke 10:38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Our Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 and 11a. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
This particular activity has been around for a very, very long time, and that's skipping stones. In fact, the ancient Greeks during Jesus' time had a game called that skipped stones across the Sea of Galilee, or maybe even the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea would not be fair. Everything floats in the Dead Sea, right? That just wouldn't be fair. However, the Greeks had a name for it. It was called ducks and drakes. Evidently, they hit a few as they were skipping their stones. But skipping stones is where a stone is tossed across the water and it becomes where it hits the water at just the right trajectory that it will raise up above the water again, back down, and if you get it going, it will go on and on and on. And there is a man, his name is Kurt Steiner, and he continues even today. He lives in Pennsylvania now, and he's given his entire life over to skipping stones. He has been at this for about 30 years now. He has won 17 different tournaments, and in the United States, there is no professional stone skipper. There is Mackinac Island on July 4th holds a competition. He has won that over 17 times. And so he has actually thrown a stone that defied science. It had observers, it had scientists watching, and it defied what a rock should be able to do across a body of water. And it defied science. He's devoted his life to this, and he says that I failed in everything else. I don't get anything else right in my life. I have been married and divorced. I can't hold down a job. I have no income. And in fact, during the months of October through March, those months of the year, he does without heat, electricity, water, or any type of energy in his home. In other words, no electrical energy. And so he does without, and he says that resets him for his stone skipping that is to come after the winter. He says the reason, as he's been interviewed, this was from an outdoor magazine in an interview that they did with him, and they said the reason that he's given his life to skipping stones is it helps him forget everything else that he's failed at. That is a pretty lopsided life, right? He has no friends other than those occasional people that he competes against, and he has family in Pennsylvania, but they're not really connected to him, according to Kurt. They just don't quite understand him, obviously. A pretty unbalanced life that he has. It's just lopsided. And that's kind of what we see in our story today, right? I don't know how many times I've gone to groups of women and they have this topic that comes up. It's a repeater. It comes up over and over and over again, and they use this passage out of Scripture, out of Luke 10, and they say, which one are you, Mary or Martha? You know, and obviously from the retreat that we're having or the meeting that we're having, we're all supposed to be Marys, right? Martha, no, no, no. She got chastised by Jesus, right? Well, we are, if you read the rest of Scripture and not just that passage, we are to be both. We are to be both a Mary and a Martha. We are to both nurture our faith and, in doing so, do those things that God calls us to do. When I was growing up, we had a cottage on Lake Webster. Loved it there. Spent a lot of many, many happy days out on canoeing around out on that lake. And in those days, it didn't matter that little kids were out by themselves, my brother and I and our dog right in the middle of the canoe. And we would paddle around. We got to know people. And there was one man that would always use his rowboat. Now, I don't know if you've used a rowboat and know the difference between a canoe and a boat. But a canoe, you can stroke the oar in the water and you just glide. A rowboat, you got to work. You know, you're doing this to keep yourself going in the water. There's not a whole lot of glide to it. And he was always out in his rowboat. He'd be fishing, or Lake Webster has an island. He'd be going out to the island to do whatever you do on an island and coming back in. And we'd see him, and one day we were talking, my brother and I, and he'd struck up a conversation. We were passing each other in the lake. And we noticed, my brother and I, that he had something written on his oars. One of the oars said faith, and the other said works. Well, my brother, I was a pretty shy one. My brother was not. And he says, why'd you write on your oars? And he said, let me show you. So he pulls away from us, and he pulls with one oar, and he goes around in a circle. And he stops, and he starts pulling with just the other oar, and he goes around in the circle the other way. And he said, if I only have faith, I get nowhere. If I only have works, they're worth nothing. It takes both my faith and my desire to work that I can move ahead and move securely, move safely, be productive in all that I do. You see, Jesus would give a nod at that. Yeah. We are to have faith in our God and to do those things that God calls us to do. That is to keep our life in balance. I have up here for us today an actual balance. And this one is balanced. There it's not. It's actually pretty tight. So if anything were set on here, it was not going to move. But the ones that are actually used are very flexible, and they, if you put a weight in one of the trays, it would drop. And in order to keep them balanced, they have to be even. They have to be equal on both sides. And one of the images that comes to mind is that Lady of Justice and her balance, the scales that she holds. She holds the scales in one hand and a sword in the other. I think that's always interesting. A sword in the other hand. But that is the image, that the symbol of our law, our justice system. And the Lady of Justice balances what is presented in court, the pros and the cons, to bring about justice. And that's supposedly what the symbol represents. But we know all about balance. It's everywhere. There's the balance of nature. We have balance all around us. There's ecosystems. And if you listen to any wildlife shows ever, Planet Earth or some of those others, you will hear about the necessity for the balance of nature to be maintained. That sometimes as humans, we interrupt that. But the world was created with this balance of give and take. And everybody then in this ecosystem can survive and thrive with this give and take in place. In the universe, there's balance. And there's balance even within the earth itself. It's tilted just right. It's balanced just right as it travels around the sun. Lots of examples in nature that we could take a look at. And the balance that exists there. And there's all other kinds of balance. We talk about physical balance. I don't know about you, but balance is something that represents the fact that we have a strong core when we're talking about physical strength, when we have balance. I used to, and I'm afraid to try it out here. I tried it at home, and I thought, maybe I better not. I used to be able to stand on one foot indefinitely. I just had impeccable balance. Not so much these days. So I could lift up a foot, I could stand like a flamingo forever, and it used to be entertaining to my children. They, Mom the flamingo, you know. But our physical balance represents our core, and there's a whole lot of reasons that having balance is important, and there's emotional balance that we hope to have in our life. Yes, we get really, really sad, but we don't get stuck there. We want to experience the joy in life as well. And we hope that we can live in a balance between the two, because sadness and grief and loss and those things that upset us will happen in life, but we don't want to get stuck there. We want to be in a balance where it's balanced with the good and the nurturing and the joyful. Even you experience balance if you drove an automobile in today. If your tires are out of balance, I used to wonder why that was such a big deal as I first became a driver. It's like, why do you have to worry about balancing a tire? Well, then I had an unbalanced tire. I found out real fast, you kind of limp down the road, you know? It's like galloping in a car. And so we have our tires balanced. And it keeps us safe on the road. So we experience in a lot of different ways and a lot of different times. And you'll notice that I'm not saying spiritual balance, because it's not one of those things we put in our tray. It's our foundation. Have you ever tried to walk and keep your balance on an uneven surface? It's really difficult. Walking through our parking lot from the east side is kind of a journey. It can be real difficult because there's uneven parts and it looks pretty even, and it's not. And every now and then I step in a hole. It's not. It's rough. It's hard to keep your balance on an uneven surface. Out at Davis Park, I know that there are some that really struggle with moving out into the yard and have moved to the patio. That's because of the uneven surfaces, and it's difficult to walk on that and keep your balance and not fall down, right? So we have all experienced it, but our spiritual balance is not, it's the foundation for everything else. You see, we've talked the last 2 weeks, we talked about getting back to the very basics of who we are as Christians, and that is receiving God's grace. The very basic of our faith is that we have a gift of God's grace gifted to us. And then we talked about building strength. And while we do those things that can build strength in our own life, in our relationship with God, we also learn to depend on God's strength in our life. When we have those things in place, that's the foundation so that everything else in our life can be maintained in balance. In Ecclesiastes, we are a whole list of life, and that's exactly what it is. This is attributed to King Solomon, our wisest king in history, evidently, and our heritage in the Bible. And King Solomon wrote down those things not as a prescription, but as this is what happens in our life. This, the good and the bad, that's what we're going to experience in life. And the last verse, verse 11, the first part of that we read this morning, and God makes all things beautiful. And that goes right along with Romans 8:28, where in all things, God can make them good. You see, God as our foundation can help us move through, keep in balance everything in our lives. Keep us moving forward. But back to our Mary and Martha, that's not what it sounds like is going on there. I mean, we've got the foundational person right there, and he's saying, Martha, what's going on with you? Well, I want you to look at the bigger picture. We didn't include the whole story of that. Jesus had gone to Bethany. This is Mary, Martha, their brother was Lazarus, to give you a context. Jesus visited there frequently. They were good friends. And when he was coming from Galilee, this was a great place to stop. Jesus didn't spend nights in Jerusalem on purpose, not until his arrest. But he would spend the night just outside of Jerusalem, right at the top of the Mount of Olives. There's Bethany, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. And that's where he would go, he and his disciples. Well, we have a couple unusual things happening. One is the fact that a woman at this time was at his feet while he was teaching. That means she had the front row over anybody else in the room, and that was truly unusual. That would have been Mary. And nowhere in this scripture does it say Jesus had gone into the kitchen and said, "Martha, get out here. I'm trying to teach you folks, and I want you to be taught as well. I want you to hear what I have to say." He didn't do that. Because you see, hospitality in that day, in Jesus' day in particular, was huge. It was exceedingly important to offer. We think of our hospitality as offering coffee and some refreshments after a worship service. We offered a huge step in hospitality with the overnight warming center. We offered a space. But those alone are not biblical hospitality. You see, biblical hospitality takes both action and affection. It requires the heart. If we're actually going to offer biblical hospitality, we have to love those that we are serving, whether we know them or not, whether they are the stranger or not. We love those that we are serving. That's the difference. And what Martha gets called out on is she forgot that. She comes out, she's planning, we read in translation, she's planning a feast. There was really no need for a feast. Making some bread, making some sustainable food. Bread was a part of every meal. Offering what they had, but instead she was making a feast. And she was getting really frustrated and really angry that she was having to do this all by herself. You see, she lost sight of why she was offering the hospitality. It was to be out of love. We both sit at Jesus' feet out of love for our God, or we serve Jesus Christ out of love for our God. Those are the whys that we do things. And Martha forgot. And what Mary had remembered was the love part. She was there listening out of love for her God. And Martha had forgotten why she was offering the hospitality in the first place. She forgot the love. It's kind of when we forget, when we're out of balance. We can forget. We can become frustrated. I'm sure it just started with a little inconvenience. Maybe she burned herself on something and it just escalated from there. But I know personally, I've dealt with some of that. Lose sight of why I'm really doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that God called me to do this, but you see, if we offer hospitality, if we offer refreshments, if we offer a bed or space to be warm, if we offer anything else in the name of hospitality and we don't have love, anybody can do that. It doesn't take Christians to do that. It takes Christians to offer it with love. And so how in the world are we supposed to maintain this balance? Now, I'm taking for granted that we have our foundation. And our foundation is strong and steady and firm. So all we have to be concerned about is maintaining the balance in our life. Of all those things that Ecclesiastes tells us we are going to experience in life, how do we maintain balance in our lives? And hopefully experience a whole lot more joy than we do suffering. But suffering's a part of it. So how do we do that? I used to feel like, and I actually can remember describing myself like this. Have you ever seen The Juggler? It's a juggling act where they come out and they start spinning a plate. And they spin it on a pole that's not set in anything. It's just spinning a plate, and the momentum of the plate keeps the pole in place and keeps the plate spinning. And then they start another one. And the plates are spinning up on a pole, and then another one. And then the one that they started at the beginning is starting to fall and fall off. And so you have to run back and start it all over again. And you go like that, and you go on and on and on. That's what it felt like sometimes. And I'm sure you've experienced that. You have so many, we call it multitasking, right? Got so many things going on. Everything's demanding your attention all at the same time. You cannot keep your life in balance that way. It will all just fall. Has a great foundation, but it'll fall. If you try to do it all on your own, and you're trying to do so much. I described what I have learned to do when I started seminary. I described it to a friend, and they said, oh, you're in monk mode. Monk mode's probably nothing we've ever heard of, because monks are Catholic. But monk mode, what they were referring to, is being very focused for a short period of time on one project or one activity or one thing to learn or one thing in our life. Give it a period of time and intensely focus on that. And I really have tried to practice that. And for me, that helps me keep life in balance. Because I'm focused directly on something one at a time. Even though there may be a lot coming in, I address them one at a time with very focused intentionality to do what's before me. To do what's required, or just to feel what I have to feel. That's what's referred to as monk mode. But I suggest you might try that. Because you see, you, I'm assuming, if not, work on it. You have received God's grace. Receive it. If you haven't, you are depending on God's strength and not your own. That's your foundation. And then stay focused on those bits of life. Because you see, what happened to Mary, what happened to Martha, was she became distracted with frustration, probably with fatigue, maybe with a little bit of anger. She wanted to be out there and not in here, but nobody was in here helping her, so she could be out there. We get distracted when so many things are happening. And so stay focused. Don't allow the distractions, the temptations to fall into that occur. And allow Christ to be at the center. Allow Christ to organize, to assist you in focusing on what you are called to do or be in that moment. Alone, we'll probably fail. With Christ, we will succeed. God makes all things beautiful in its time. Let us pray. God, we ask you to take our lives and let them be what you have called them and made them to be. Amen. Let us sing together. May the Lord walk beside you to comfort you. May the Lord walk above you to watch over you. Yes, and may God walk behind us to keep us safe and before us to show us the way. Let us stand for the benediction. Go now, keeping Christ at the center and foundation of your life, and experience the balance that God calls you to. May you go in God's grace and God's strength. Amen.